It's time for Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
This is Pastor Don Swarthout coming to you from the Gospel Truth Center. And I want to welcome my friend James Coates here today with me. And we're going to go into some more of my life. And we hope that we don't have more program than we got material here.
It's good to be back, Don. Thank you so much for having me. I'm learning a lot about you. You know, I've known you for years, and I've heard bits and pieces of your life, you know, whether we're in the car or sitting at a restaurant, which we like to do. But it's good to hear it all come together, you know, a little bit from your past and some of the good things of life, and of course some of the darker side as well. You know, we've talked about alcoholism, and last time we were on in that it's such a horrible demon that a lot of people are drinking now, and they don't realize the danger. You know, if they could hear maybe this recording, it may spare someone, you know, from
that path. Well, I would sure hope so, because it was not a good thing for me, I have to admit.
So, you've talked a little bit about, you know, having to talk to yourself. This was the condition of Don. Okay, Don, you're in the shower now. This is a shower. This is the hot. This is the cold. Now, this is the condition
right.
You were in.
That's exactly right.
Okay, I'm in my car now. Here's the brake. Here's the gas. You was actually having to coach yourself through a day.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was.
How was your work? What were you doing for a living, and how did...
I was working for Management Recruiters, and I was there every day at 8 o'clock, and we didn't start till 8:30.
And you worked okay? You were able to function?
Yeah, in the afternoons especially, I was able to function in... Sometimes in the morning, I was not in the best shape.
Yeah. And did your coworkers around you, did they know you were struggling, or did you cover up pretty good?
Some of them did, and especially toward the end of my drinking, it was fairly evident, I think.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about how your change came about. You mentioned in our last broadcast how you got to the point where you said, God, if you're real.
Yes, that was what I said to God, all right.
If
you're real,
I need help.
I will go, and you can save me from this alcoholism. I will serve you the rest of my life.
Mm.
And I had previously decided I could have one or two drinks with dinner on a Saturday night, and so I went to the restaurant that very evening, and when I left this restaurant, I said to myself, you didn't have anything to drink.
Wow.
I just remember thinking this to myself. And 1 week later, I went to the same restaurant. And when I left, the car was in motion. And I said to myself, you didn't order anything to drink tonight. And then I said, well, that is okay. I don't drink anymore. And I said, what? I stopped the car right there in the middle of the parking lot. And I asked myself if that were really true.
Wow.
And I said, yeah, that's true. And that was the end of alcoholism for me.
So this thing just fell off of you with a simple cry to God.
It happened, yes. It happened immediately. And
wow.
Even though I didn't know it for 2 weeks, it happened immediately.
That's what blows my mind, how you went through 2 weeks and you were in such a condition.
Well,
you
I had made the decision that I could have one or two drinks with dinner on Saturday night. And so I guess that I already knew that I was going to quit. But just to go through a week and I never craved a drink. Never.
Wow.
I would stop and wash my car and go to the pipe store after I quit smoking my pipe for months and months I did that.
Wow.
And, not every Saturday, but almost. And I'd say, oh, gosh, I don't smoke a pipe anymore. let's go on home. So I guess maybe alcoholism was that way, too. You know, I didn't crave that either. But I did crave, the pipe because I would be smelling that tobacco.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So isn't it amazing how just a simple prayer, you didn't have 10 steps.
Yes.
You just a simple cry from your heart got our Father's attention, and he reached down.
That's exactly right.
And set you free from that demon.
And all I did was ask him to help me.
Yeah.
And that's all I did. It was my words were the real important part of that.
Wow.
I was able to ask him because my dad taught me you always ask.
Always ask. See, God was getting you ready then.
Yeah, that could be.
Now, no doubt listening, we're on the air and you never know who's listening. And there could be somebody listening right now, Don, who is in a very similar situation. Maybe they're having to talk to themselves in the morning, okay? This is a car, and it's a sad truth. But what message do you want others in substance abuse to know? What would you say to that person listening right now who is that Donsworth out that was just out of control?
A fairly easy one to me. Because I have thought about it quite a bit, and I would say to that person, you can get sober.
There you go.
And if you want it, you can get it. And if you want to learn to trust God, then he can help you with it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you be forgiven by God if you are a drunkard? Yeah, you
can. Thank God.
And he has. And that is answered in 1 Corinthians 6:11. When you think of me, I just tell people always at the end of my talk that I want them to remember 1 Corinthians 9:6-10. And it says that, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Mm.
Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then is what 6:11, where it comes into play, and it 1 Corinthians 6:11 has this to say, and such were some of you, meaning you were drunkards or drug addicts.
Sure.
But you were washed. But you were sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
But you were justified, just as if I had never sinned. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And see, that takes care of everything right there.
Yeah.
And I had been forgiven for being a drunkard, and I was washed by the blood of Jesus, sanctified by the grace and mercy of Jesus, and justified by the name of Jesus. I had been forgiven for being a drunkard.
Mm.
And it is funny, by the grace and mercy shown to me by our Lord, made me recognize my need to show them my thanks for all that they have done for me. Their grace and mercy has made me want to serve them more than you can imagine.
Yeah. So was it at this point that when you prayed that little simple prayer, was it at that point that you started your journey with God, or did that come later, or had you already done that earlier, or at least crying out to God? And at what point did you really fully submit and say, I'm going to live for you? At what point was it, from that deliverance point on, or how did that come about?
Yeah, it's a really good question that you have here, because it's a question that I guess I can answer. I can't remember when I specifically got involved in God, but I guess that it was the beginning of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was really slow at first.
Yeah.
But I have recently looked up some scriptures that meant a lot to me and so forth. And so, you know, it's still an ongoing process. It's mm-hmm. an ongoing process sure. as long as you live.
Sure it is, yeah. So to that person listening that is battling alcohol or anything else that's life-controlling, there's hope.
Oh, gosh, yes.
There's hope.
You know, I wish that a person could see me, how drunk I was at one time, and how my eyes were red, and my face was swollen, and,
wow.
and I just really looked bad.
Yeah.
And when I quit drinking, all that went away. Well, what do you think of that? I'll be darned. Huh. I guess maybe it might have had an effect on me.
Do you really think, going at the rate you were going, that you would be alive today?
No.
Wow.
No. I probably would have had an accident that would have killed me, or I would have killed myself.
Wow.
I'm 68 years old, and I haven't retired yet, and I'm not planning on it anytime soon.
I think you're just getting started.
I'm planning on retiring when I die.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit, bring some sunshine into
okay.
this conversation. How did you meet Doris? This is Don's wife, Doris, and I wish she could be here with us today, but, you know, a little sunshine, it just seems like God has blessed you with such a beautiful, dedicated
mm-hmm.
woman yeah. of God. Talk
well,
about her a little
and,
bit.
And I had been single for 23 years.
Wow.
And she had been single for 15. For
My
10
goodness.
Years, she stood and prayed every morning for her marriage to be restored. And I seriously don't know what was wrong with her husband, but she has been a blessing to me.
Mm.
Actually, I had a conversation with God where I told him that if he wanted to be involved with me meeting someone and getting married, he'd better get busy that day. Because I told him that I was going to put on the red dress and go out Saturday night and meet somebody. And if they were willing to marry me, why, that might be the person I married. The following Saturday, I had forgotten that I had committed to going to a potluck dinner.
Uh-oh.
And so I asked, I met Doris there at the potluck dinner, and I asked her a few questions and so forth, and I got enough information that I was able to find her in the phone book, and I knew where she worked, and in case she had an unlisted number, then I could call her at work. But because I knew right away, instantly, that she was a special woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had been known around Denver for being a pastor, and this was several years after my drinking episodes. And then I was asked to come to the front and pray for the group, and to go through the line first, which I did, and I was on my way back, and I realized that I'd left Doris standing at this very table that I was on my way back to, and she was somewhere in that line up in the Thank God she came and sat down beside me.
Yeah.
And said she really didn't think anything about it at the time, but the following Monday, which this was a Saturday, I called her and asked her to go out for dinner that evening,
mm-hmm.
and she couldn't make it and accepted a dinner date for the following, I think it was a Wednesday. And after I met her that evening, I knew that I wanted to see her again.
Mm-hmm.
And the following Saturday was a play at the church I regularly attended, which was Heritage mm-hmm. Christian Center. And we were going to the play and then to dinner at a seafood place. And the play went well. And once we went to dinner and excused herself to go to the bathroom or the restroom, I said a prayer to God, and it was that I hope she liked me as much as I liked her. And we dated regularly and were married within, I think, 4 months or something after being single for 23 years and 15
years. Sounds like
he
heard your heart's cry again.
Yeah, I think he did. I think that maybe that conversation I had with him was about as funny as to him as it was to us, but it was one that led him to get in position and make himself
right.
He showed off a little. Yeah. That's what he did.
I don't know if you folks have ever seen Doris, but she's
she's a beautiful woman.
She's a very pretty lady.
There's a picture of her that I've got. It says 1989. That's quite a while ago, but there isn't a single wrinkle on her face, and she was 43 years old or something.
Wow, you got
I mean, there wasn't a single wrinkle on her face anywhere. I don't know what she saw in me. I said, in fact, she prayed for 10 years for her marriage to be restored every morning, and she still prays every morning, but after 10 years gave up and said, okay, I'm ready to date now, Lord, just send me the right person to go out with. Well, it took him 5 years to get her to move to Denver from Louisiana.
Wow.
And she left her children and grandchildren all in Louisiana, which is really surprising to me.
Yeah.
And so, anyhow.
So she's been a strength in your life. She's dedicated.
Well, and, you know, I ask her, where is this scripture at?
Yeah.
I can't think of it. And she'll tell me chapter and verse just most of the time. And once in a while, she'll say, well, it's either in John or it's in Acts. I don't know which.
Mm-hmm.
And once in a great while, once every 3 or 4 years, she'll say, I don't know.
Wow. That's a pretty good record.
Yeah, well, as forgetful as I am, it's a real good record.
So you guys were married, and then you started your journey together. And how did Crave Ministries come out and come about, and what led you into the politics and America's values? You know, talk about that. And Doris is with you in this thing. And again, you can go to the website, and there's a picture of Doris on there, so you folks out there can see her and Don together. But talk about Crave and how that was birthed.
Well, it was something that was already started prior to me knowing Doris.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I have been involved in so many things was a result of a Ten Commandments rally in Lexington, Kentucky.
Mm.
And so I was at a church in Denver. I spoke there, and so did this man from Kentucky. And I called the next day and asked the pastor, how could I get in touch with that guy? And she said, well, it's funny. He just called here and wanted to know how he could get in touch with you.
Uh-oh. Connection.
And so we went to lunch and several times and so forth, and he asked me to be the national media director for this group, and I said, yeah, I'd be glad to do it. Just tell me, what does a national media director do? At that time, I lived in Denver, and it was in 1999, and as a result of my work, CBN came to the rally and put a piece within 3 days on the 700 Club.
Awesome.
And Roy Moore was our main speaker, and he had a press conference in Corbin, which was really a great deal. The Associated Press came to the event, and all of the Kentucky radio, and I mean all of the Kentucky television stations came, and many of the newspapers came. The next day, a pastor from the state of Tennessee told us that we could have a group in our own town, and which would support American values.
Wow.
And I said that I'd be willing to start such a group, but I was ignored. And I think that he was interested in just that area.
Oh, okay.
And but he ignored me nonetheless, so I said it 2 or 3 times, and finally I thought, I'll just go and start on my own then.
There you go.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
So Christians Reviving America's Values, or CRAVE, was formed in 1999, right after the rally, and became an IRS-approved and tax-deductible organization, a 501c3, in February of 2001.
Mm. And I think it was about that time that I met you.
Yeah, I bet it was.
You came and spoke at a local assembly that I was attending.
Yeah.
And so that's how we connected on this journey that we're on.
Well, this approval came to my hands after 2 months or so.
Mm.
And people that had used the same person to apply for this 501c3 had every one of them had questions that they had to answer, and some of them had 2 and 3 rounds of questions.
Wow.
And so I said, God, you're going to have to show me something, and he did.
Another simple little prayer.
Yeah. So my interest in the political arena is a natural desire that was formed in me by growing up in the state of Iowa, a small town in the state of Iowa. And I would give a lot of credit to my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And by this, I mean my Sunday school teachers, my elementary school, high school, junior high, all of them. The strangest thing was, at the time, now this is going to sound familiar, I did not even know that these teachers were impacting me in such a way.
Mm.
I didn't know. I thought everybody knew all the stuff that I knew. And I listened to them talk about the Founding Fathers, Christianity, and our Constitution. And I was hooked,
mm-hmm,
with a strong, strong interest in the political arena.
Incredible.
And morality and American values without really knowing it at all. And when I say American values, I mean the things that made America great.
Yeah.
These included the Founding Fathers and their faith. My goodness,
yeah,
the faith that these people had. We, in our best day, don't even come close to that.
That's what's not being taught today.
Oh, it's
as
not.
Much,
it's
know,
not.
If
and,
any.
The books that they used were to teach children to read were the McGuffey readers or whatever they were, Guffey readers or McGuffey,
yeah,
or whatever.
McGuffey, uh-huh.
And they had Bible verses as the started with A and B and C and
uh-huh,
D.
Uh-huh.
And
wow.
It was just really great.
So Crave came out of, it's like you can see, hearing you talk today, that, you know, it's like God has put little seeds in your life in those early days, and they started to grow. And, you know, and then in 99, here is Crave Ministries, and now you're traveling and speaking and sharing and doing Ten Commandment rallies and all those great things. And what difference do you think Crave has made since it started in 99? What changes have you seen? What battles have you faced?
Well, I would say that the battles have been primarily along the lines of the changing of America,
mm-hmm,
from being a politically political organization. It really wasn't a political organization at the time I first learned about it, but it has become that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lost the meaning of the true meaning of our Constitution and the true morality that used to fit into everybody's pocket.
Yeah.
You know, these people that were our Founding Fathers were so full of morality that they had so much going for them that it was just unbelievable.
Yes.
And the important thing is that this may be the most important thing that we're missing in our country today, and that is that instead of giving our lives over to God, we are now caught up in how important we are.
Yeah.
And I have
humanism.
News for you. I have some news for you, and that is we are not very important. We are more like many, many grains of sand. And we're mixed among them somewhere on that beach.
Yes.
And that's what it really is. You know, you think of yourself as being a great football player, a great basketball player, a great this or great that. And, you know, you're just a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe you make it in the big leagues and maybe you don't. And the chances are you won't.
Mm.
But you know, it's just a flash in the pan and you're gone.
Yeah.
For example,
that's
can you remember who won the Super Bowl 3 years ago?
No, sir.
Nobody can.
No.
Oh, sir. One guy did. One guy remembered back about 10 years.
So what you're saying is that stuff, you know, even though it's fun at the time, it really just don't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. Yeah. I don't even know who won this year's Super Bowl.
Nor I.
I probably could think about that and come up with it. And I watched the game, but I was thinking about other stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So, and God doesn't appreciate liars very much either, and neither do I.
Right.
It's been a big, big issue to me, and God says he hates a lying mouth.
Yes, he does.
And in that sense, lying is against the morality of mankind and the morality of God.
Mm.
And so the American leaders in Washington, D.C. Have not been very moral. They have made abortion legal.
Right.
And the Supreme Court declared abortion to be legal, and they were not very moral in doing so. They say that it's woman's right to murder another human being.
Yeah.
That's really what they said.
Absolutely.
And nobody has that right to take the innocent life of a child in their womb.
Amen.
And the sixth commandment says, thou shalt not kill.
Absolutely.
And that's really about as simple as it can be.
And God means it as much today as back then when he spoke it, you know.
That's
what he said and that's what he meant.
Well, I could go on and on about spending trillions of dollars, and we're spending $3.5 trillion every year and taking in taxes $2 trillion. Now, I have heard that 49% of the people in America do not pay a nickel in taxes.
Wow.
Now, we're going to have an equal right and an equal fairness here. Why doesn't Obama go after those people? You know, the 49% that don't pay anything, if they paid something.
Yeah. Wow.
Which I thought they did. I paid taxes from the time I was 14.
Sure. Absolutely.
And the people in Washington are immoral in all of their actions. And it really is you that has made this country and the people of this country immoral.
Mm.
And that is because you are the person who is responsible for these great American leaders.
Yeah.
America will return to being a great nation with the favor of God when we learn to believe in God and to practice true morality and believe in our Constitution.
Wow.
And not before.
Very well said.
It's just one of those things that just comes out of me normally.
Yeah.
And
it's your heart, you know.
Yeah,
that's,
it is.
That's
it
what
really
God
is.
Has put in you to do. That's why I crave, you know, it's writing, I don't know how many letters you guys write in a year.
We write 1.5 million letters to Christians every year at
Incredible.
A cost of $675,000.
Incredible.
We are not a little second-rate organization any longer.
No, sir. Well, Don, it's been great. Don, thank you for having me in the studio with you today and for sharing, riding along with you on this journey. It's been a good talk.
Yeah,
I appreciate you letting me in on it.
It has been. I appreciate you being here.
I love good dialogue.
Yes.
Thank you, folks, and God bless you. And please contact the Gospel Truth Center, and we'll see you next time.
This has been Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number 4, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. Or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com, or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.